promises fulfilled. I am a great lover of fairy tales. I don't know how many of you are great lovers of fairy tales, but there was one called Sleeping Beauty that I loved forever, but they remade it and named it Maleficent. And the star of Maleficent was the bad fairy. And when Aurora was born, Maleficent made a promise. She made a promise that this child of beauty and light and love would prick her finger on a spindle and would go into a sleep. And the only thing that could save the child's life, would wake her up, would be true love's kiss. Maleficent had been a fairy of great love until her heart got broken by a human. And so when she made this promise, she made it out of anger and bitterness. Well, as with all babies, Maleficent got to watch Aurora grow. And we know what happens when we get around babies. Our hearts start to soften. And Aurora was this beautiful child of light and love. And slowly softened the heart of Maleficent until she wanted to take away her promise. But she had promised, she had made that prophecy so that it was bound on earth and nothing on earth could change it. Well, near the end of the story, as she pricks her finger and falls into a sleep, they find a prince that could kiss her awake, except his kiss wasn't true love. And there we see this imposing Maleficent in dark horns and dark clothing in front of behind the place where Aurora in light and beauty and pink and blue is in that eternal sleep. And we see her broken and asking for forgiveness. And in that moment of requesting forgiveness, she bends over and kisses Aurora, and Aurora awakes. True love, sacrificial love, redemptive love, that love of forgiveness, asking for and receiving forgiveness, brought Aurora back to life. This morning, as we think about God's redemptive love and power, we have another human by the name of Simon, or Simeon, depending on how you have the vowel sounds in your Bible, has a particular promise. God has given him a promise as well. God has promised Simon that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ, till he saw the Messiah. Now, Simon wasn't a priest. Simon was just a man of good faith. And can you imagine? Let's go back to that village or that city called Jerusalem, where Simon was probably walking the streets that day that Mary and Joseph were bringing their baby Jesus in for the sacrifice of dedicating his life to God. And Simon, being a man so in tune with God, when God gave him a nudge through the Holy Spirit to go to the temple, he went to the temple that day. And can you imagine what it must have looked like that day with all the people coming into the temple with their turtle doves, their lambs, whatever they were making sacrifice to in honor of whatever occasion? Simon is wandering through this crowd, and Mary and Joseph with baby Jesus come in. Now today, this might be a little scary, that a strange man would walk up to you and take your child out of your arms. But Simon takes baby Jesus out of the arms of Mary and holds him. And he talks about the fact that he can now die in peace. How many of us have either heard our parents or someone else say that? When you get married, I'll be able to die in peace. Or when I finally have all of this set collected, I'll be able to die in peace. My father, near the time of his death, had a very similar request. He had some grandparents who had a gravesite somewhere in Massachusetts. And his dying wish The thing he felt he had not accomplished before he died was to get tombstones on those graves. So all of us have these kind of things we would like to have accomplished. And if we get them accomplished, then we can die in peace. Simon's promise was from God, though. It wasn't a human desire or a human wish. It was God's promise that Simon would see Christ before he died. So when that baby came in and he took that baby in his arms, he could say, now I can die at peace because I have seen the Lord's Messiah. No angels came and told him that. No star shone from the west to guide him there. It was a nudging by the Holy Spirit that brought him into the temple that day. And in that temple, this man with this connection to God felt God's presence, felt the reality of the God with us in that infant. But then his words to Mary were a little bit troubling. If I were Mary, I wouldn't have wanted to hear these words. This was the day I was dedicating the Son of God to the temple, to God. I brought my pigeons. That's all we could afford to lay at the altar. A day of great rejoicing and honor. And this man who holds my child and acknowledges who he is then turns to me and says, a sword will pierce your soul too. Not words I wanted to hear that day. A sword will pierce my soul. So in the midst of the joy and the rejoicing, Mary hears that at some point, this child, a great promise, may bring her great grief. But Luke goes on to share another human being in this story. Another human by the name of Anna. And these are two people we don't have in our Christmas pageants very often. But Anna is a woman, a widow, who has spent all of her widowhood at the temple. A woman of great faith. A woman who, when she encounters these words and sees the Holy Child, knows that the Messiah has come. So Mary and Joseph leave this place. Leave with their firstborn son and the promise that God has made of the redemption of Israel, the redemption of the world through this innocent little baby. They leave wondering, I'm sure, what the pain and suffering will be. Because there is both that joy, people will cling, but people will fall. But they tell us, Luke tells us, that they raised Jesus strong and that he was growing and filling with wisdom. They didn't let the prophecy, the promise that they heard, turn them from the task God had for them. Simon's promise had been fulfilled. God's plan and purpose was born in the baby that Simon held that fulfilled his promise. God's promise continues towards fulfillment in us and through us today. So why do we spend this time, these days called Christmastide, focusing on the revelation of God with us in the baby of Bethlehem? Because the story, the unfolding story of God's love, happens through human encounters. Think about the fairy tale. What changed the magical creature? Love. What changed the magical creature was a human child. What changes us but contact with one another in love? Simon and Anna were able to see God in the baby Jesus because they spent time with God on a daily basis. But think about the others in this story that we have been unfolding over the course of Advent. We have Mary and Joseph that we know so well, who were obedient and said yes. John the Baptist, born of Elizabeth, and Zechariah, who was a little bit uncertain about what God was doing. God's work in the world for the salvation of the world is through those of us who can see the promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. To see the promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. When we gather in this place on any given Sunday or any given time that we worship the Lord here, the world doesn't disappear outside these walls. But inside these walls is Kairos time. When we understand the fulfilling promise of Jesus Christ, when we understand that we can believe in hope and peace and love and joy because God came down and took human form, that God allowed himself to be a vulnerable baby in the arms of Mary and Joseph, and that people can see that when he enters into the temple and they know him to be who he is because they have experienced God in their life. The world wants Christmas to be about toys and gifts and buying. The world wants us to think Christmas or Advent starts the day after Halloween and ends on Christmas morning when we've unwrapped all our trees. Christmas began the day Christ was born. The promise God made for the redemption of the world began the day Christ was born. It was fulfilled the day Christ was born. And it is continuing to be fulfilled even today. As Simon's promise was fulfilled, God's promise to the world was born. And then we have a choice. We can be those who fall and those who are lifted up by either accepting and believing in the promise of Jesus Christ and stepping forward and moving out into the world proclaiming that promise. Or we can choose not to believe that it's just a fairy tale, that it matches along with Grimm and Maleficent and Sleeping Beauty, that there is no substance to the reality of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we do have a choice. We have a choice to accept that this is what the world is all about. Redemptive love. But when we make that choice, it's not an easy path. Remember, the sword would pierce Mary's heart. She would be there when Christ died on the cross. Forgiveness is not easy. Asking for it is even harder. Because when we have to ask for forgiveness, we have to admit that we have harmed someone else. Christ is calling us who have seen God, who have experienced God's redemptive love in our lives, to be the new light, to be the ones who point to God, to be the Simons and the Annas and the Elizabeths and the Zacharias who say, this is God in us. The Pentecost jar is going to be at the parsonage on New Year's Day. It's going to be out here. It's going to be here. We're going to have multiple Pentecost jars. I want you to look for God in the world, because the world wants us only to see pain and suffering and hate. If we look for love, we will find Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.